Welcome to The Critique. Today we're looking at a strategy doc about Rapid7 pitching cybersecurity for DHS and DOJ. Let's dive right in. Okay, so first off, this material really it really hammers home how Rapid7's platform lines up with federal mandates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, EO 1408, CISA directives, Zero Trust, CDM. It's all there. The mapping of products to these requirements is, well, it's very thorough. Shows a clear grasp of the rules.
It definitely does. And that clarity is good, but it reads straight into my first thought. Are we maybe focusing too much on compliance and not enough on the actual mission?
Ah, okay. So ticking the boxes versus what, the bigger picture?
Exactly. Look, the document is great at showing how Rapid7 helps agencies meet mandates. That's clear. But the government itself, I mean, look at EO 1436. They're signaling a shift, right?
Right. Away from checklists.
Away from just checklists, yeah. Towards genuine security investments, measurable security outcomes. That's the language they're using.
So the weakness here is?
The weakness is that sticking just to compliance, well, it risks framing Rapid7 mainly as a regulatory tool. It kind of underplays its potential role as a strategic partner in achieving the actual mission.
Okay, so how do we fix that? What's the suggestion?
The suggestion is to consistently weave in how Rapid7 fundamentally transforms what DHS and DOJ can do, how it helps them nail their specific high-stakes missions. We need to elevate the language to security outcomes and mission assurance, not just, you know, compliance acceleration.
Mission assurance. Okay, that sounds good, but how do we make that concrete? Can you give an example?
Sure, absolutely. Take ICE, for instance. Instead of just saying Insight UEM helps ICE comply with CJIS vulnerability controls, which is true, but a bit dry.
Right.
Reframe it. Something like Insight VM empowers ICE to secure the sensitive investigative data they need to prosecute child exploitation and financial crimes. See? That connects directly to safeguarding national security, ensuring the integrity of digital evidence. That's mission impact.
Yeah, okay. That lands differently. Much more powerful. What about, say, CISA?
For CISA, yeah. Instead of just enhancing the CDM program, talk about enabling national situation awareness. How Rapid7 strengthens CISA's role as the nation's risk advisor.
Mm.
By giving them richer, real-time intelligence to protect critical infrastructure from, you know, serious nation-state threats. That's core to their job.
Right. And maybe one more, the FBI.
FBI Cyber Division, yeah. Don't just say Insight IDR bolsters their SOC. Emphasize how it accelerates threat attribution and disruption. How it helps them impose costs on cyber adversaries by cutting investigation times down from days to potentially minutes. That's directly supporting their fight.
Okay, those examples really clarify the shift. It's moving from features to mission enablement. Very strong. But speaking of shifts, what about the reality on the ground in these agencies? It's not always easy to just swap tech out.
You read my mind. That brings us neatly to the second critique. Enhancing strategic nuance by addressing inherent federal challenges.
Okay.
So, the document does a good job highlighting the unified platform, the FedRAMP status, CDM APL listing. Those are definite advantages.
Clear differentiators, yeah.
Absolutely. But does it fully grapple with the complexity of the federal environment? I mean, acknowledging the existing players, the legacy systems, the integration challenges.
So you're saying it presents Rapid7 strengths, but maybe in a bit of a vacuum, without fully acknowledging the, let's call it, the friction of reality?
Precisely. That's the weakness. It's strong on advantages, but could be stronger by explicitly acknowledging things like, you know, entrenched competitors or the difficulty agencies have in just ripping out and replacing major systems.
Right. Budget cycles, existing contracts, user training, all that stuff.
All of it. So the suggestion isn't to downplay the strengths, not at all. It's to integrate a more, let's say, nuanced understanding. Acknowledge the hurdles, like big deployments of competitor tools or budgets that just don't allow for a full overhaul.
Okay. And then?
And then show how Rapid7 strategy, or its tech, is specifically designed to navigate that. Think pre-RFP engagement, progressive contracts, or technically how it can coexist, integrate, and offer a migration path. It's not always about immediate replacement.
That sounds much more realistic, actually. Positioning as a partner that understands the constraints, how would that look in practice? Any examples?
Sure. So when you talk about the unified platform advantage, maybe acknowledge upfront that agencies can't always just ditch, say, their existing Splunk or Tenable setup overnight.
Yeah, that's reality.
Right. Then pivot. Highlight Rapid7's open APIs, the integration library, how Insight Connect enables coexistence. Phased integration. It becomes a practical migration story. Incremental consolidation, not a disruptive shock.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Turning a potential objection into a point about flexibility. What about places with really complex tech, like OT or ICS?
Good point. For agencies like CBP, with those huge, complex environments, including OT-ICS, explicitly mention how Rapid7's OT-aware features and flexible deployment agent, Agent Lists, can seamlessly integrate with that specialized gear without forcing a risky overhaul of critical systems. That's a major selling point.
Mm-hmm. Addressing that specific pain point.
Exactly. And you can even mention competitors constructively. Like, look, while others like CrowdStrike or Splunk are established, InsightIDR's integrated XDR and AI triage offers a unique way to cut alert fatigue and speed up investigations for swamped SOC teams. It builds on what they have, doesn't force a total switch right away. Just a few ways you could approach it, of course.
No, that's really helpful. It frames Rapid7 as understanding the federal IT reality. Okay, let's shift to the prioritization piece. The material lists out key components at DHS and DOJ, arguing for focus. That makes sense. But is it maybe too broad? So many opportunities listed?
That's exactly where the third critique comes in. Sharpening prioritization with quantifiable impact stories.
Okay.
You've got it right. The document identifies lots of valuable use cases across CISA, FBI, Secret Service, Marshall Service. It's comprehensive.
Almost too comprehensive?
Potentially, yes. The breadth risks diluting the impact. The weakness is that by listing so many options, even if they're all good, the most powerful, compelling stories might get a bit lost.
So it lacks that really sharp focus on the biggest wins?
Exactly. The suggestion is, pick the top, say, 2 or 3 absolute highest priority opportunities, the real marquee pairings of component and use case. And for those, craft much more vivid, outcome-focused impact stories. Show quantifiable results, dramatic improvements.
Go beyond just listing the capability to painting a picture of the transformation?
Precisely. A before and after snapshot that really resonates.
Can you give an example of what that kind of impact story would sound like?
Okay, let's take CISA and directive compliance. Instead of just modeling automated directive compliance, picture this. CISA issues a critical KEV directive. 14-day deadline, no excuses.
High pressure situation.
Totally. Manual processes, it's an all hands on deck fire drill, right? Risk of failure is high. Now paint the Rapid7 picture. Insight Connect turns that chaos into a repeatable, auditable workflow. It slashes the mean time to remediate from maybe weeks down to hours or days. That's patching critical holes before the bad guys even get there. See the difference?
Yeah, that's tangible. Dramatic. What about the U.S. Marshals, especially after their ransomware hit?
Right, great example. Post-breach, USMS doesn't just need vulnerability fixes. They need to rebuild trust, rebuild resilience. So the story isn't just identify vulnerabilities. It's Rapid7's full stack plus incident response services provides a clear roadmap from crisis to a proactive defense posture.
Mm.
Imagine showing dashboards with a quantifiable drop in attack surface, much faster detection times. That directly addresses the pain of the breach and helps restore confidence. It's about recovery and resilience.
Okay, that definitely connects to their recent experience. One more. Maybe Secret Service?
Secret Service, CFTFs, the Cyber Fraud Task Forces. Focus on how InsightIDR turns investigations around days down to minutes, how it delivers legally defensible digital evidence via log collection, endpoint forensics.
So the impact is?
The impact is faster takedowns of transnational criminal groups, protecting financial infrastructure, securing actual convictions, turning data into results in court. Again, these are just starting points, ideas to build on.
No, those are excellent illustrations.
really brings the value proposition to life in a compelling way. Okay, so to quickly recap, we've talked about broadening the narrative beyond just compliance to really emphasize mission assurance, then adding strategic nuance by acknowledging those federal complexities and showing how Rapid7 integrates and coexists. And finally, sharpening the focus by crafting powerful, quantifiable impact stories for the highest priority targets.
Exactly. It's about moving from capability to transformation.
These adjustments should really strengthen an already solid case, aiming not just for compliance, but for genuinely transforming security operations. We definitely encourage you to refine these areas and feel free to send the updated work back for another look.